The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. One thing I forgot to say that caller a minute ago, he was chastising me for accusing the Gator fan out in Oregon for drinking. He not only predicted they would beat Georgia, he said they would win the SEC. That's when I used that line. Anyway, great to have all of you back. We're going to talk more about this weekend with our next guest, Ivan Maisel, who, of course, has been with us many, many times over the years. And Ivan, it is so good to see you. We certainly miss seeing you as often as we used to, but it's nice to know that you're now a digital executive with On3. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. It's great to see you, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, we want to talk about this piece you recently done about not only Mark Stoops, but his brother Bob. And it's always weird when you're talking to Coach Stoops, Mark, that is, to bring up his brother. We talked about it with him before off the air, but because he has been in Bob Stoops' shadow, as almost everyone else who's ever coached, but he's coming out of that shadow quite well, and you did a pretty deep dive with the Stoops brothers recently.
Yeah, and maybe I didn't have a problem because I didn't tell Mark I was talking to Bob. You know, so that, I've done this before. But, you know, I have a long relationship with both of them, and they both, they know where I'm coming from. And you know, I came in peace. My point was, what Mark has done is so markedly different from what Bob did. You know, Bob sailed into a blue blood program, and in his second year, he won a national title. And, you know, it's taken Mark until 9 years to get over a 500, you know, one loss record. So it's quite different. And I think both achievements are stand on their own.
What did, again, the whole family, it's a long coaching family, quite a bit of legacy. There's another brother who's been a head coach at Arizona. But what did you learn, what did you hear from Bob Stoops about Mark and how he has done it and what he is currently doing?
Well, Bob talked about how Mark knew what he was in for in terms of building it and how he didn't cut corners and that it was quite different from what Bob had to do. I think one of the keys to both of their success is where they came from and that sort of blue collar mentality that whole group of guys that grew up in Youngstown, Ohio and Northeastern Ohio has. You know, football is so important there. And I think, it worked at Oklahoma and it's working at Kentucky. You know, that both guys are, they're different. Bob's an older brother and I think more comfortable in the spotlight. And Mark's the youngest of six and he's quieter. But they both are straight to the point and know how to get along with people, know how to sell their programs, there's some similarities and quite a few differences.
Talking to Ivan Maisel, who has covered college football for I don't act like I haven't covered it for a long time, but he has covered it for a long time and quite brilliantly, I might add. Ivan, you can only imagine because you. You grew up in the state of Alabama. You know the Alabama fan base, and you certainly know Nick Saban quite well. But it has been a little more this week than I can remember. We even had a fan a few minutes ago criticize Saban for doing these Aflac commercials during the game as opposed to coaching. We tried to explain he's not quite doing it during the game. But yeah, it is interesting, and yeah, no one is hitting the bell for Nick Saban at this point. But this meltdown has been extraordinary to watch.
Well, look, Paul, it's shocking that Alabama would lose 6 first-round draft choices and drop down a notch or two. You know, I can't figure out how that happened. They've been teetering, and some of it is youth, and some of it is entitlement, as Nick has told all of us. But the bottom line is, you know, this team is just not as good as last year. They may get to the point where they're good, but the running game is struggling. It's really struggling in close quarters. The defense is good, but it's not great. And, you know, they're struggling on the road. They struggled in Gainesville. They struggled in College Station. You have to remember that that half the team, if not more, has never played in a road game before they went to Gainesville. You know, so that's hard to do. You know, that sort of atmosphere, to get used to it if you've never done it before, and especially when you're number one and everybody's gunning for you. So there are reasons, and it's not as if, you know, oh, my God, here we go. Here comes the Music City Bowl. But they've got some work to do. They've got some growing up to do.
And Ivan, I'm curious about Nick Saban, because I know you spent a lot of time talking to him. I've said you know him, and your family is close to him. But you know, he's crossing 2 weeks from now the 70-year mark. Until Saturday night in College Station, he looked younger than I've seen him in many years. Suddenly, you start wondering. What happens now for him? Because, you know, if he doesn't win the title this year, how does he swim through this? Especially if Kirby Smart wins it. He's already lost to Jimbo. He may lose to Kirby. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but I'm just being realistic.
Sure. Well, you know, I think Nick will be just fine. I think, you know, I don't know what you've noticed. It seems to me that he is more at peace with the ups and downs of coaching than he's ever been. You know, he doesn't seem to get as, to go from 0 to 11 in a heartbeat the way he used to about anything. I think, he's got just a better outlook on things. I don't know whether that's age. I don't know whether it's just the comfort zone of knowing he has proven that he's a very good coach. You know, it was always about trying to prove something, either to his father or to himself or whatever. And he's proven everything he can prove. It may just be, you know, he's a grandfather. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, we can be armchair psychologists all you want, but he's at peace with who he is and where he is. The fire has not banked. You know, he still wants to win. He still hates to lose more than he wants to win. And he still loves being around the young people. So, I don't have any short-term worries about Nick Saban and the state of the Alabama program at all.
No, but you've covered a lot of great coaches in their 70s. And you know, Bobby Bowden was able to pull it off early in his 70s, and then it came undone. And It rarely, but I was about to say it rarely goes well but there's never been anyone like Saban, though.
Well, it rarely goes well for a coach in their 60s, Paul.
True.
If
true.
You look at the record, you know, and so, you know, Nick has already proven he's gone where few coaches have gone. You know, he is, I think he's a few weeks younger than Mac Brown. I think Mac Brown is now the oldest FBS coach, and Nick is second. And Mac's doing well, and Nick's doing better. I mean, Bobby began in the 70s. He did. He began to slide downward, but that also had to do with the makeup of his coaching staff. You know, he depended heavily on the same guys year after year. And Nick, you know, they write your name in pencil above the, you know, your office.
and you've said it, and you know, sometimes he's got 7 national championships, but I still don't see. I saw him a week and a half ago. He still doesn't look like he's content. So grandfather, zillionaire, none of that really matters to him, does it?
No, not in that sense. I mean, that's what I said. The hunger to win is still there, and the hatred of losing, which is stronger than the hunger to win, is still there. So in that sense, as long as those two things are there, you know, I don't think there's anything to worry about in terms of the state of Alabama football. But, you know, I think he is, you know, he's not got his, you know, foot to the floor. You know, he's not mashing the accelerator to the floor the way he used to. I think that, you know, he is making some concessions in how he operates and what he gets mad about. And, you know, that's only natural.
Well, Alabama fans are telling me he better get mad again because they don't like being on a one-game losing streak. Ivan, we will talk to you again in a couple weeks. You've got a very important and personal book about to come out, and look forward to talking to you about that. We always appreciate your time very, very much.
Thanks, Paul. Look forward to it.
Ivan Maisel joining us, and I want to talk. I don't want to talk about this book of his and mix it with football because it's too personal and it's too important. So we'll talk to Ivan in about 2 or 3 weeks after the book comes out. We will take a break. We'll get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back. Glad you're with us. And Augie is in New Orleans. You're on the air. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Paul, you had an interesting call yesterday from a guy named Steve in California. Remember that?
Yes.
That is definitely one of the pitfalls of legalizing marijuana, because I think he was kind of in another world when he was talking to you. But another person who calls in tells us we're too hard on Ed Ogeron, and then explains to tell you what a bad coach he is. Now, that just doesn't make any sense. I think he and Leo must be related to Ed, because
yeah, we have not heard from Leo, the Ed bootlicker, in a week.
Well, you know, Louisiana Dan was giving me a lot of stick about wanting to fire Ed O.
Yeah.
He's out there. I bet you he's listening today. He's going to probably send me a tweet or something. He was chastising me for wanting to get rid of Ed, and I have not heard from Dan lately taking up for him. But enough about Ed O, because as you say, Ed O is the past, and it's just a matter of when. But do you think we run the risk of basically turning into the Tennessee of a year ago? Remember when they got rid of Pruitt and then all their players left? I mean, do you think that is a distinct possibility for us?
Not necessarily. I think it entirely depends on what happens and how long it happens and how it's handled. Remember, the Tennessee situation was after the season. The rumors were out there for 4 or 5 weeks, and then Pruitt was fired, and it was just a mess. If this is done cleanly, I don't think it will be as big of an issue.
So what is your definition of cleanly? What would you say would be the ideal situation of making a change? And again, I think timing is critical, because right now these players know O's gone. They don't know who's coming in or if there's a plan to bring somebody in or what. But what would you say would be the ideal plan?
I've never liked when these things drag on. I remember 4 years ago, I think it was Butch Jones. Remember, every week, you know, when are they going to fire this guy? They are going to fire him. And it literally became laughable, and I think it led to a haphazard coaching search. I think you're always better the moment you've made the decision to announce it, and that could be soon. I know somebody said earlier that Scott Woodward has never fired a coach in the middle of the season. Well, there's always a time for the first. And, you know, I think Saturday is really very critical. I think the way this team plays, they're banged up, so I think the expectations continue to go down. I also think the crowd is important, Augie. What does that crowd look like at the beginning of the game, at halftime, and at the end of the game? And if that place is starting to look rather sparse, then I think your decision has been made for you.
Well, let me tell you, I've talked to nine guys have been looking for people who might want a ticket to the game or two tickets to the game. One, it's at 11. It's too early.
Terrible time.
I mean, we're just getting up from Friday night. And with the outlook of what's going to happen, I don't think that's boding too well either. But, Paul, you've got us in our predicament. Alabama lost one game. How do you think those fans would be handling our situation now?
Well, I've seen Alabama handle situations like this before, and they usually handle it the same way, badly.
I just seem to think, man, one loss and it's like the world is over. But who do you think that loss that Bama had against A&M did any favors for Georgia? I see this as something that might be the kick that I do not see Alabama as going away. I see this loss as actually being worse for everybody that's got to face them. And I don't think that bodes well for Georgia. Now, I'm not saying Georgia's not great, and I don't understand all the Georgia fans calling in saying they don't get enough respect. Hell, they're ranked number one. But I think they have an inferiority complex about themselves. What do you think?
I agree with your first point. I think Georgia would have been better as number two, playing Alabama as number one. I think the flipping that is going to add additional pressure. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Legend is next.
Wake up, baby. Wake up, Paul. Woo! Woo, baby, wake up. Wake up, Alabama Nation. Wake up. Just got off the phone with a couple sources down at practice.
Let's hear it.
Said this has been the most intense practice, most intense focus of the season. The Giant has woke up, Paul. They are pissed. I'm pissed. Saban's pissed. Alabama Nation is pissed. Brother, when you piss off a sleeping Giant, you got a problem, brother. Anybody wants to count the king out, count him out. But you better be careful, because when that Giant wakes up, we're going to beat somebody's ass. Wake up, Alabama. Wake up, baby. Wake up. Hey, Paul, it ain't Affleck's problem. It's no Sack's problem, brother. That's the problem. These idiots. You know, I say freedom of speech is a wonderful thing, Paul, because without freedom of speech, we wouldn't know who the idiots are. I mean, people come on here criticizing Saban. Are you freaking kidding me? Saban is a god in Alabama, brother. We worship Nick Saban in Alabama. Nick Saban could lose five games. He can lose six games. We don't friggin' care. It's the OC or DC's fault. Nick won't be leaving
I know you're a religious man, but you are familiar with in the Bible about worshiping false gods.
Well, Nick Saban ain't a false god. Woo! I got a life-size picture of him in my bedroom. Every morning he directs me on which way to go, brother. I'm going to tell you something. I love Nick, man. He ain't no god, but he's
well,
a god to the Alabama people,
you of,
brother.
Of idolatry, but why for the rest of us is it never his fault, but it's the coordinator's fault?
Because when you got seven natties, brother, when you got more rings than you got fingers, you are never in question. Paul Feinbaum could have a friggin' bad... He's still friggin' effing Paul Feinbaum, baby. He's still the mouth of the mouth. So I don't want to hear this bull crap that it's Nick Saban's fault. It's not Nick Saban's fault. Nick Saban's success has led him to a place where he's had to get coordinator after coordinator. And, you know, we got a couple bad ones right now. But I wouldn't say it's Nick Saban's fault. I'd say it was his success fault more than it was Nick Saban's fault. And, Paul, I heard you say Georgia, anybody that knows football knows that Georgia's not going to choke the natty away this year. Woo, brother, you need to back that statement all the way up, brother. Beep, beep, beep. Back it up, Paul. Back it up. Because I am counting on Georgia choking. I mean, let me ask you this. If the Bills win the Super Bowl and Georgia wins the Natty, would hell freeze over, Paul?
It may.
Yeah. And what are both known for? For friggin' choking. Choking. That's what Georgia does. It's not a matter if they have the best team. They're known for choking. And that's what I'm counting on again. They're going to choke. You're a choke artist, Georgia. You're old yeller to me. You don't cast no fear into me or Alabama. And A&M, you reached your mountaintop. Congratulations. Maybe we need to get a gumbo statue. Turn it into Gumbo Field. $10 gumbo plate for all the A&M fans. You reached your mountaintop. Congratulations. So friggin' what? Wake up, Bama Nation. This giant is awoke. You going to find out, cowbells. Because we're going to take that cowbell and beat the hell out of a pirate with it. Legend friggin' out.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Jim is up next. Good afternoon, Jim.
You know, Paul, I've listened to you a long time. I've heard you make a lot of statements, bad and good, in my opinion. But your finest minute came a while ago, talking to a friend of mine, and you said it right. It's in the Bible. I will not have any other gods before me. Idolatry, worship, that is good Lord. And I pray for him to be wised up about what he's thinking, because that was your finest minute, Paul. A lady told me, I told you about 10 years ago, a Christian lady said, I said, I was mad at you, and I said something to her about you, and she said, just remember that fine in Feinbaum has got something to do with his name, and there's something about his name. You know, it means something. Maybe Archbishop's prayers are reaching heaven, but you had praise God for what you just said, man, because you told it right, and it's dangerous what he said. And I'm telling you, he needs prayer, because that's getting it over the line. But that was your finest minute, in my opinion, Paul, by far.
Well, Jim, thank you for saying that. But it yeah, I understand smack talk. You understand it. I mean, you wrote the book on it. But
yeah, I never liked it either, Paul. I'll be honest with you, I've never liked it. Never. Have you ever seen me do much of that?
But I will say, I don't – nobody needs to explain to me how great Nick Saban is. I've spent most of my career talking about that. But
Me neither, Paul. Me neither.
But he did what he said. It was hard for me to swallow. And I know you. I'm glad you called in. I was hoping you would.
In reference to what you were hoping I'd call in,
especially
I'm not sure.
In reference to the fact that I know you and Legend are friends, and for you to say this,
we very much are.
But friends can disagree about a lot of things, and
I disagree. If I see something, might take him to hell, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dangerous. What he said, that is dangerous, and I love the guy, but that's over the line, and I have a duty to call him out on that as a friend. But I want to know something else, Paul. Did you hear the voicemail I left you? I'm not going to talk about that on the air because you know I don't do that. Did you hear the voicemail I left you not long ago today?
I will listen to it during the next break. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Please listen and I believe that my finger might be on the pulse. In fact, I believe my finger is on the pulse on what I made the statement regarding what I said in the voicemail. And again, great, great point you made top of the heap, what you said about God and idol worship. You told it right.
Thank you very much, Jim. You be well. Ernest is up next in Georgia. Hello, Ernest.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Long-time Georgia football fan, and I've watched your program for years. I'm 80 years old, so you know I've been around the block. The legend is an example of Alabama fans. I feel sorry for him because he needs to be a little bit more humble about it and be thankful they're blessed to have the talent they have and the coach they have. And the fact that Georgia chokes is a baloney. I don't remember the last time Georgia played Alabama that Georgia was the favorite. They're the underdog, so they're not expected to win. And if they do win, it'll be an upset. What do you think about that?
Yeah, listen, if we're talking about since Kirby Smart arrived, which I think is the only time frame that's valid, Georgia played a phenomenal game in 2017. They didn't win, but they were.
Could have.
But that was not when you throw a pass like that to a future Heisman Trophy winner. That's not a choke job. That's just a brilliant play.
No. But I would like to say one other thing too. What I like about listening to your show is the people that come on there that are so belligerent. They're overdone with it. You know, they run their mouth and you patient. You're so patient with them. I would cut that guy off just then because he just got way out of bounds. The people that are belligerent and just really want to wear you out, just cut them off and move on to somebody that's got something to say about something that has some substance, some meaning. Don't just let them ballyhoo their mouth and run their mouth and their gums about something that's just irrelevant. And I do appreciate you, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Ernest. It's a pleasure to visit with you. Let's talk to Amos up next. Hello, Amos.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? What's going on, brother?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, listen, man, listen. First, I want to respond to Legend, okay? All right, now, all of this talk about Georgia chokes, just like the guy before me said, Ernest, we were the underdogs in both of those games, okay? As a matter of fact, we came into the season in 2017 ranked number 22. Okay, we were not expected to get anywhere near the national championship game. So how is that choking? Okay, how is that choking when the underdog lose? Now, my point to Legend, okay, all of this pumping your chest like you think that Georgia is never going to beat Bama and Georgia's never going to do this and Bama's always going to have Georgia's number. Just remember, Yankees fan, they thought the same thing about the Red Sox, okay? They never thought the day would come when the Red Sox would catch them. And that day is coming. That day is here. Georgia has caught Bama. Let's not act like what happened Saturday night in College Station never happened. You can sell all of these Tide fans all the pipe dreams you want to, Paul, but that loss Saturday night is totally different than the loss in 2011, the loss in 2012, the loss in 2017 to Auburn, and the loss in 2019. That loss was different. Unranked to an unranked team with a backup quarterback that has a bum leg. Okay, You got problems, Bama Nation. You got problems. That's all I got to say. Go Dawgs. Love you, Paul.
Thank you. Hey, amen. Jerry, I want that man to be my preacher. Jerry is up next. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. This is Jerry from Mississippi.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, first, I want to give Alabama compliments. I'm a Mississippi fan. I'm 80 years old, and I understand we're playing them Saturday. We're playing with 2 and 3 stars. Alabama's playing with 4 and 5 stars, and I know what our chances are to win, 0 to none. But now, people like Legend, that is the reason that anybody in the United States, unless they are a diehard Alabama fan, hates Alabama. He was squealing, sounded about like the movie, you know, where it was Deliverance.
Yes.
Like a pig.
Late
and I do not understand how, and I know Alabama fans are not all that way. I know that you got your legends. But to me, Alabama fans like him, they make a religion, they're a cult. They make a religion out of Alabama. They make a cult. And as the people in Mississippi say, if Alabama gets beat, there's going to be 2,000 or 3,000 girls, friends, wives that's going to get the hell beat out of them that night. And that is the reputation Alabama has outside of the state of Alabama. What do you think about that?
Jerry, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. Done this a long time, but I continue to be amazed. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching The Paul Feinbaum Show, presented by Beef. It's What's for Dinner. Nick is up next as we continue here. Champ Bailey at the top of the hour. Let's say hello to Nick in Orlando. Hello, Nick.
Oh, how's it going, man? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just had a few questions about Alabama's defense this year. We have phenomenal talent out there. But our coaching, I think it's the play calling, man. What are your thoughts on Pete Golding, and how long do you think he'll be here this season?
I've never been the president of his fan club, if that answers your question. I don't know. I really think this sounds predictable, but I think it depends on where this season goes from here. If they can correct a lot of the mistakes and get to Atlanta and roll the dice there, then I think it will be okay. But if something else goes haywire, I think there's going to be a lot of calls for his removal.
Yeah, I do too. And then I also just had a question about the Kentucky-Georgia game. Do you think Kentucky will be able to hang in there this weekend, or I think it's going to be a blowout by the Dawgs?
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge, Nick. I mean, as much as I think we're all fans of what they're doing up there, this is going to be completely different. This isn't a noon crowd like Arkansas got. This is 3:30 in the afternoon on homecoming. It's going to be a crazy place. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Chris, who is in Georgia. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm doing fantastic, by the way. I just wanted to call because some of these Gator fans are calling, and they're saying how they still have a chance. I just want to kind of put that to ease, and that way they can go ahead and get about their daily lives and their routine. I think a lot of these Florida fans, they don't realize how standings work and tiebreakers work. Because when you stop and look at it, they should be rooting for the Dawgs this weekend.
Absolutely.
Because, let's face it, if Kentucky wins, Well, Kentucky's got to lose all three of their next games, and one of them is against Vanderbilt, which the high school team here in Georgia could take care of. So that's a no shot. And so what they would want to do is root for Georgia and hope to beat Georgia and hope that Kentucky falls two of the last three games. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're, I mean, yeah, the Gators are done with, I mean, Kentucky holds the advantage over them right now. So they you're 100% correct.
Absolutely. And now with LSU, because I am an SEC fan, LSU, Ogeron has an 8-8 record since 2019.
Right.
And, you know, three of those wins have come against, you know, teams the caliber of University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Underwater Basket Weaving, Employee State Hospital University.
McNeese State, too.
So his record against, say, Division I teams is 5-8.
Correct.
How is that going to hold up, and how long are they going to put up with that?
Yeah, and, you know, that's why Florida is such a critical game, because if you lose that game, then your next game is at Ole Miss and then Alabama, and it's all over. I don't think they're going to put up with it.
Right, right. I agree. And, you know, to legend, you know, I called the other day wondering about why in the world he would have a Nick Saban, you know, life-size picture in his bedroom. maybe he should have the Aflac duck beside Nick Saban, a life-size picture of that, too, just in case he gets hurt with all his idolatry and stuff. But I think you were right with the drinking comment to the dude earlier. I applaud that. And as a matter of fact, I am going to be in Athens this coming up Saturday, and I hope to see you there.
Yeah, bring me a drink.
Thanks for taking my
Chris,
call.
After today, I need one. Thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. Kyle is next up in Texas. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great.
I just had a couple of questions for you. My first question is, do you believe that we finally saw the Texas A&M team that a lot of people going into the year thought they were going to be?
I certainly think so, yes.
And my second question is what do you think that Jimbo and the Aggies need to do to sustain this momentum going forward and going into next year?
Kyle, I'm going to give you a cliche response. The first thing you need to do is avoid a letdown against Missouri, because I have seen that too many times where you score a monumental win and you throw it all away. I think I've seen it a lot. I just think Jimbo, with this win and assuming they can finish the season with some semblance of a string of victories, I think they're really positioned. They have to continue to recruit at the level. They're recruiting at a very elite level right now, and that's the most important thing. Jimbo can coach. We know that. And he's got a great defensive coordinator as well. We are heading to the final hour. Champ Bailey is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.